Well, 32 months ago, I had the privilege of becoming the pastor of Briarcliff Church. And we started off, as many of you already know, started off over in Briarcliff Village in a little storefront. And it was right across from the Mexican restaurant, and I didn't really want to leave there at all, but we outgrew it. So we had to leave and move on to another. How many of you were, that was in September of 2013, how many of you were in Briarcliff in September of 2013? Let's see your hand. Okay, there's about maybe six or eight of you there. And then sometime later, we had the opportunity to come here and be a part of Northgate. And so how many of you were a part of Northgate when we come flooding in? Let's see all the Northgate people there. A couple here, I see, that are here in this service this morning. And then when we came here, we began then immediately with two services. And it just as I think about the things that have happened from that really small group 32 months ago, even today, and the only thing I have to say is only God, only God, only God. Now the question is where to from here? So about every 6 months, I like for us just to pause on a Sunday and take a look at where in the world are we going? Not just where we've been, but where are we going? And what do we think that God might have in mind for us? Isaiah cast a great vision to the people. They were, many of them, in Babylon. They had been defeated. They'd been taken prisoner there. And now Isaiah stood in the midst of them to give them this great vision message. And he began to talk about, and he began to use as an illustration, like, you know, you have been like a woman that has been unable to bear a child. Now you're going to not only bear children, but you're going to bear a lot of them. I don't know if that's good news, ladies, or not, but you're going to bear a lot of children. And then here's the key verse that we're just going to work on this one verse this morning, but we're going to take it apart section to section, and I want you to just look at it as we read it again. Verse 2, enlarge the place of your tent. What do you have in mind there? And let the curtain of your habitation be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Isaiah evidently was using the illustration of what was then the tabernacle. That was before the temple was built. And the tabernacle was a mobile unit that they could move the tabernacle from one place to another. And it was nothing more than a tent. But inside that tent was the Holy of Holies and all the things that were later on in the temple. But it was a tent. And now you're familiar with a tent that has sides on it, and then the ropes go down, and then there's stakes that hold that. And so that's the symbolism that he's using there for Israel. It said, you got to, first of all, number one, enlarge the place of your tent. It's not going to be able to handle it. So what is the plan do you think God has in mind for us to enlarge the Briarcliff tent? Well, I don't know if you know it or not, but in preschool, in the last year, we've more than doubled the number of kids in preschool. That means we've had to double the workers in preschool. And then in the children, we've also doubled. So how are we going to enlarge the tent? Well, the building over here that has two floors to it, the one you come in on, is the nursery and the preschool and then upstairs. And so the things that we have in mind right now, and this will be a lot to be happening around here this summer, that'll get us ready for a larger tent this fall, for God's blessing to fall upon us. You always have to be preparing for tomorrow. You can't just live for today and have adequate today. You have to have the leadership, you have to have the space, you have to have all of that for tomorrow. It is for those that are yet to come. So we're going to be doing a lot of renovation there in the nursery and preschool and expanding that. If some of you know where I've been having an office, they're going to take my office. And so I'll be moving out of that, and it'll be expanding on over into that area there. And then upstairs, the children's area, we had asbestos testing throughout all the building. There's some asbestos issues, and not major, but they're there. And so we're going to correct all of those. And a lot of that is up there in the floor of the children's area up there. So we just want to take care of all of that and reconfigure that some to fit. Believe it or not, the way that this is a great building, but it was built in the 50s, and the Sunday school board then designed how it should, and it's a totally different way of doing things now. And so that will be done upstairs. And then the student area will be created in a much different form to fit the kind of the ministry of students. So we'll be launching that, and construction hopefully will start even this month before the month is over. And so you'll see a lot of sawdust maybe and debris and all that floating around. But anyway, that's coming up. And then that's going to be top priority. Later on, according to funding, we're planning on doing everything without borrowing a penny. So guess how we're going to be doing that? I'm going to be asking you for money. That's how it's going to happen. And later on, we'll come in here and do some things in the auditorium here. And a lot of other things that will need to be done. One of the key things is going to be parking. And we're pretty much out of parking. We don't have room to expand in parking. Neither do we have, by the way, back in nursery and preschool, they're pretty well up to all that they can take in there. A little bit of room for growth, but not much. Parking, we've got to expand that. Just began to work with a civil engineer that'll come in and design the most cost-effective parking that we can buy, and the closest end that we can have you to not have to walk 40 miles to get here. And so that is going to be going on, and it'll probably be at least fall time before that is done. So anyway, that is just some of the things that we think that God wants us to do to get ready for tomorrow and the days ahead. Is that he says, enlarge the place of your tent. And that's exactly what we want to do. And then he goes on to say, let the curtain of your habitation be stretched out. So we're going to stretch out. We're going to stretch out more in the community. I'll tell you what, this last year, and many of you were a part of the Easter event. We'll have another great event coming up at Paul Fest. We had, I think, well over 1,500 here at the Easter egg event. We stretched out beyond what we'd ever started. We started that over in the village, in Berkeley Village around the lake. And this was the greatest year of all. The other thing that we saw this year is that people came on Sunday as a result of that. That never did really happen that much over the Briarcliff Village, because even though we'd say we're from Briarcliff, they didn't have a clue where that was, but they were coming on our campus here, and they were now familiar with the church. And I think I told you, had one lady that she wanted to donate some money. And I told whoever's talking to her, I said, just jokingly said, tell her just to come tomorrow and she can give an offering. And she said, oh, no, I'm an atheist. I don't do that kind of thing. But I like these events. Where do you think if she comes to the place that I need God, where do you think she might come? See, always stretching out, always trying to figure out ways to stretch out to those that do not know Christ and are not even interested in Christ. But I found that somewhere along the line, most everybody hits a wall that says, I think I need God. And the tabernacle in those days represented God. And for many in the community, still the church building has a way of representing God. So not only did we want to stretch out, we want to do it with excellence. I'm under the firm conviction that excellence honors God and inspires people. Do you ever notice how meticulous God was about the building of the tabernacle and how particular he was about the temple? Extremely particular in excellence. And I think that as we move forward, we want the very excellence. And I read this one year around Thanksgiving time. Somebody had emailed or called in to Butterball Turkey. You know, you call in, get questions there. And they said, you know, I have a turkey that's been in the freezer for 10 years. Would it be safe in eating? And the response from Butterball was, it would be safe in eating. It might not taste that good. And the person says, that's what I thought, so I'll give it to the church. Honestly, honestly. In church, a lot of times people will say, I've got something left over. So it's no good to me. It has some good. I'll just give it to the church. God is looking for excellence from our lives because he gave his excellence for our salvation. Why would we ever want to give him junk when the cross cost him everything? So we're very adamant about whatever we do, that some way it magnifies and glorifies God. You remember the scripture says, let your light so shine before men that they may see what? See what? Your good works. Not just works, good works. You know what the word good means? It means better. It means glorious. It means beautiful. Let your work that is beautiful in all of its excellence do what? Glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And it brings glory to God. I'm convinced that excellence glorifies God. And it inspires people. So it says, let the curtain of your habitation down and be stretched out. So we want to continue to stretch out into the future. But how do you think that God might want to enlarge and stretch your life? See, there's a vision here for us personally. Does God want to stretch you a little bit? You've kind of got comfortable to the place that you already have your zone marked out in the auditorium. And it's always kind of a challenge for us to stretch out and do things that we've never done before. Stretch out and grow. But I have never really sensed growth in my life personally without stretching. And there's been times that God has stretched me to the point that it's been painful. Stretching, stretching. Are you willing to allow God to stretch you from where you are? It's awful quiet here. Now, are you willing to allow God to stretch you from where you are? At least nod your head, you know, that are you willing? See, that's the challenge here. I've told you many times before, the reason that I wanted to be a part of pastoring a church is it's always stretching, always stretching. New ground and territory I've never been before, even though I've been in the ministry for a few years. But it's always stretching. The moment that I'm not willing to stretch into something new, I'll never grow. I'll never become what God wants me to be. And God is not wanting to stop stretching you until they stretch you out in the casket. And that's when it stops. But until then, continue to stretch and continue to stretch. Let the curtain of your habitation be stretched out. Then the next is, enlarge the place of your tent and do not and let down the curtains. See, that's the sides of the tent. Let down the curtains of your habitation. Then notice this, the next phrase. Say it with me. Do not hold back. Say it one more time. Do not hold back. You never drift toward God's vision. Never. You don't just kind of rock along and drift into the vision God has for your life. Never. It takes effort. It takes dedication. It takes most everything that you got. I read in a leadership journal some time ago, Lynn Anderson had written about a group of pilgrims that had come here nearly 400 years ago. And the first year that they landed, they established a little town. Now, they had great vision with great risk, great sacrifice to leave their homeland, cross the sea, which would take a long time, and get here. What a vision, what a sacrifice. And then they established the town. The next year, they established a town council, began to establish a government. The next year, the third year they were there, the council proposed that they build a road 5 miles on westward. The fourth year, they tried to impeach the council. The people that had a vision, a great vision to leave their homeland, to make great sacrifices, to bring a brand new town, now had lost the vision of even 5 more miles. See, that's always where we stand as individuals with the Lord. It's where a church always stands, is lose sight that God has something more than right now. And to stretch out there and do everything that we can and not hold back. Some of the times that I don't have many regrets. I really don't. But if I did have any regrets, it would be the time that I held back. And there have been those times that say, not me, Lord, not me. I held back even when God was calling me to the ministry. Not me, Lord. I delayed and I put that off and I wrestled with that. Then coming to seminary, I held back. I didn't want to go to seminary. I read where Billy Graham didn't go to seminary, and I said, if Billy doesn't need to go, I don't need to go. And so I've held back. First church I pastored in Kansas City, held back. I didn't want to be here in Kansas City. I want to be in South Missouri. They held back. Coming to Briarcliff, I held back too. I thought, God, you got to be kidding. Me? Start all over again? After all, I'm past 40. It's been a great, great journey. Look what I'd have missed if I'd held back. Think what you miss if you hold back. What do you think God has in store for you? Are some of you holding back from serving? Are some of you holding back from areas of that God has in mind to branch you out into? It said here in part of this vision, don't hold back. Don't hold back. Enlarge the place of your tent. Let the curtains of your habitation be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. That's the rope that go down to the stakes. And those will have to go out farther. Lengthen the cord. What we will be experiencing here in the coming days is a lengthening of our ministries. God has already blessed us with the lengthening of many things. Now we have a ministry to Lansing Prison. Last year we launched this leadership summit there. We've stretched out the cords for the work of City Union Mission, and that is doing more than just the breakfast once a month. And I think we're going to be stretching out. One of the things that we're hoping to do is get a lot more involved with the schools really close around here. We have some of you that are certified teachers that we can actually, and we've done this in the past, we can actually put you as a volunteer in that classroom to go in and allow a teacher to take a break. You think they won't love you? we'll be able to go in there and do tutoring and coaching. And that door of opportunity is there for us. It's one place that we can stretch out into our community that will affect the school, but it'll affect parents and it'll affect teachers. You think they will not take note of that as we stretch out? There's a lot of ways that we're going to be able to stretch out in our community as we allow God to open our eyes to see. We're going to be talking to Metro Lutheran Ministry. It's a way that we serve people that are hungry, need food, of how that we can ramp that up a bit and how that we can serve our community in need. Hillcrest Ministry at Avondale called us. By the way, the reason they called us, some of their staff came to the Easter egg event and said they were just blown away. They never had seen anything so well organized, so well done. Said, could we partner with you? So we're going to talk to them. Is there a way that we can work through them to meet needs of our community? So I don't know how all that's going to play out. I just know that God wants to stretch us out and lengthen our cords of work in our community. But the last part of this is the most important of all. It says, enlarge the place of your tent and let the curtain of your habitation be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. And then what? Strengthen your stakes. What happens if the stake is not strengthened and it gives way? The whole thing folds up. That's the reason why it is so very important. And this may be maybe the most important part of this whole enlargement is the stake there. So I got to thinking this week about what that would mean for us. I began to think, well, what is a strong church? If we're going to become stronger, what does that entail? A strong church isn't just that it's bigger and we're talking about, and you know, we're seeing a lot of growth, but we're not strong because we have a ton more people than when we started. We're not strong necessarily because we have a lot of other ministries that we have that we didn't have when we first started. So what makes a strong church? That's why I want to spend the rest of this time in looking at what it is. And Timothy and I were talking about that, and of course he loves to give me input into the message. And I began to ask him about, you know, a strong church. And he said, I think the strength of a church is seen when the church reflects the character of God. The early church, what was it that took those 120 early believers, just a small band of people, what was it that took that small band of people to absolutely impact the total globe? What was it? Because that group of people in the church of those early days was the character of God. I wrote down about 10 characteristics, and then I thought, I better reduce that down to 7. This morning, I reduced it on down to 5, but I'm going to stop there. So let me just start with them. Number 1, write these down. The characteristics of our church. This is the most important part of the message, by the way. It's more important than the building and the renovation and all that we're doing. It's the character of God as we take on the character of God. That there's a spirit and practice, not just a spirit but practice, of united prayer. The strength of a church is to be united. And what better way and what better place than to be united around prayer? So here's a challenge. All of you are in a small group that are in a small group. All of you ought to be in a small group. All of you in a small group. I want to challenge you this summer. Some of your groups are taking off for the summer, but I'd like for you not to take off on this. Why not you at least once, maybe twice this summer, get your group together, meet at someone's home, have refreshments if you want to, have a full meal if you want to, but turn it into a prayer group and spend the evening praying together. Timothy's going to be writing a prayer guide for you to follow. And I'm going to challenge you somewhere. The strength, you know, we've not had a prayer retreat in a while. And I thought, how do we do this in a very meaningful way? And I thought, not a better way for us through the summer to emphasize prayer than have you to get together around your group and to pray and to pray and to pray. Not a Bible study, to pray. Then I'd like to encourage you to come and if you're ever in this area, just pull in the parking lot and sit there for a moment and pray. Or what I like to do, and a beautiful fountain over here, it's a great place. We had a group of people over there last Thursday to do a prayer walk. And why don't you this summer, maybe three or four times, just come through the week and make a leisure walk around the fountain and do a prayer walk for the church. Before we ever came to this campus, we had some of you that on your way to church, you'd swing in here on Sunday morning and stop and pray. God, would you want us to come here by any chance? Would you want to open up that door? And a number of you would come and you'd tell me, we pulled in the parking lot and we prayed, God, what do you want us to do? Now you come again. We're just continuing to pray because it's a power of what we do in the future. There's a power of united prayer. The scripture tells us that God had a heart for prayer. Look at it in Romans chapter 8, 26. We don't know what God wants us to pray. That's a confession. We just don't know. But here's the very nature of God. The Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. The early church, how they were meeting in constant united prayer. Later on in Acts, it says when they prayed together, the place where they were praying was shook. I want you to have some home prayer meetings that you shake the house. You know, you just sense the movement and the power of God. Number two, there's a Spirit-filled and Spirit-led leadership. A church will never rise beyond its leaders. Never will. And we need to continue to stretch and grow and develop leaders. Deuteronomy says, God was talking, he says, remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness? That's the very nature of God. The nature of God is to lead people. In Acts, when they ran into a problem in chapter 6, they chose leaders that would lead them through that. We have an opportunity this fall that I'm extremely excited about. Timothy is working with Midwestern in what they're calling a Timothy program. It's a brand new thing. And we're looking at having two interns to come on for us beginning this fall. And they'll put in so many hours here, and they'll get so many credits there. And it'll be a partnership with students. It'll be a full-time student that's a brand-new student that'll come in, and they'll be part of their requirement there for this particular Timothy. We get on the Timothy track, and we'll partner with them. We will begin that this fall. Then we're hoping that somewhere down the road, and if God opens a door, then we'd open up by the fall of 2018 a resident. Now, most of you are familiar with the medical field. When you become a doctor, you don't start your practice. What do? You go into a residency. And so we'd like to take a graduate student from a seminary. They already have their degree. And they would become a resident. And that resident would be 2 years in residence here. And then we don't know where they'd go to, wherever God would lead them. We know that somewhere down the line, we will have to take this church out beyond. This is Briarcliff, Northgate. Then there'll be Briarcliff wherever else. And we'll start others. Then that student that's a resident after 2 years can become one that would head up that ministry and go forth. How many of those could we plant around the area? All over Kansas City. But it starts with an internship this fall. We'll have the opportunity to build into those leaders, but they'll have the opportunity to serve here. Number three, there is sound biblical teaching. A church can never get away from strong biblical teaching. In Acts, it says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And we're committed the best that we can when we come here to do teaching, that we walk down through the scriptures to try to open that up some way that we understand that. And we know that we're facing a society right now that is biblically illiterate. The illiteracy of the Bible in our society right now is the highest it's ever been. Here's a challenge for you this summer. If you are in a group that's not meeting, then maybe you want to consider taking maybe 6 weeks or something like that. Let me give you what. Do you know how to run a DVD? You know how to do that? Do you have 3 or 4 friends? Okay. Now you're equipped to be a group leader. Now you're ready to start. And one that our group here this summer is going to do 40 days in the Word. And Sam over here is going to be leading that. So if you'd like to be a part of that, I don't know yet when and where you're going to meet. But anyway, 40 days in the Word. You watch a DVD and then you have a daily devotions. And I'll assure you, you're going to have a better grasp of the Scripture. If some of you really want to be stretched, really be stretched, I challenge you to get together with maybe 3, 4, 5, or it could even be a dozen people, and get the book, Read the Bible for All It's Worth, by his name is Fee, F-E-E. It will explode your brain of trying to understand. When you read Scripture, do you know how to understand it? Take that book and get together with some people through the summer and wipe out some of the biblical illiteracy that you have and learn. And it'll be a great thing. So we're dedicated to that. Number four, people are engaged in serving. If you go back to Isaiah chapter 53, he begins to talk in his vision about Jesus' to come. He describes Jesus and his suffering in detail in chapter 53. This is 500 years before Jesus ever came on the scene. He's called the suffering servant. The suffering servant. He challenged us, let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, became a servant. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. It says here, Peter was challenged, but each one receives a gift, use it to serve one another. I'd like to spend a lot more time on a church, the strength of a church being interdependent. What does it mean, interdependent? Your human body is a magnificent work of interdependence. All of your organs work to serve and help others. When they quit, you quit. Here's the question. Who are you helping grow around here? Who are you taking on to help around here? And you say, oh, I can never do that. One of the best things that'll help you grow, help somebody else. The only thing you have to do is be a half a step in front of them. That's all. Don't sit around waiting for somebody to help you. That's called discipleship. You begin to help somebody else. That's the very essence of a church, is interdependence. We'll talk more about that later. One last thing, number five. There's a love that extends beyond the walls of the church. The very nature of God, John said, was God is love. God is love. John also said, the people will know, the world will know that you're my disciples because of what? Your love that you have for one another. Love, the Bible style, is a sacrificial giving of yourself to meet the need of somebody else. Who do you love around here? Who do you love around here? Love is a sacrificial giving. Let me ask you this. I ask myself this every once in a while. What kind of sacrifice are you making nowadays for Jesus? If I had you to write down, here's the sacrifice I'm making for Jesus. Let me ask you this. What kind of sacrifice did he make for you? Is it too much for him to ask you to sacrifice to meet the need of somebody else? I love the song, How Deep the Father's Love. Stuart Townsend wrote that. And he said when he began to, the tune came to him just so easily. And began to think about not Jesus on the cross. That's a great sacrifice. He began to think about the sacrifice of the Father giving his Son. All of you dads that have a son, think about being Abraham. Think about being God. And sacrificing your son. That's what the nature of God is. He sacrifices for us. If we're to be a strong church, it's going to call for sacrifice. Are you ready?